Someone earlier was saying how this room, they were asking if this room was going to get named after a donor or something. And my only remark was, who would want their name attached to a closet? I mean, yeah, it's a closet full of fancy audio-video equipment, but it's still a closet that I still insist on calling the morgue.
Well, we should.
Yeah, I was about to say, well, to be fair, it used to be a closet full of old newspapers, but that's not really... I mean, it's still a closet full of old newspapers.
No newspapers here.
There's just a desk.
No old newspapers.
Three, two
nerds,
and somebody else.
Somebody else?
Yeah, who's the somebody else here? We're all nerds here. Don't try to deny it.
I wasn't denying it.
Who are you not deeming worthy of nerdship?
She was looking at me. I think she might be implying me.
Your little blonde fro is moving.
Well, yeah, because I trimmed it.
He got a haircut. He looks respectable.
Yeah. None of you are allowed to talk to me about this.
Hiproshima?
It's good
what?
Having you. What was that? Oh, intros where we are so professional.
Ambling slowly into the first episode of the new season of Plus INT, the podcast where we level up your knowledge of gaming and geekery. Coming to you live from the new studio up in the newsroom.
Very schnazzy.
I still insist on calling it the morgue.
Hold on, is it going to be live when they hear this? Because it's probably not, so that's going to sound really dumb.
This is what we in the technical industry refer to as a joke.
I don't think that was a joke. I think you were trying to be serious.
I think I know. Wow. I think I know what I do and how I do. I am Preston, and I'm joined by Shannon, Gabe, and Georgia through Skype.
Yay!
Here to ring in another semester of wonderful geekiness. So let's get right to it.
Alrighty.
Newsman.
Alright, let's see. Toho, the ever-wonderful series of bullet hell shooters with girls that will kill you flat out in 5 seconds, is getting a little crossover with PlayStation. Well, I mean, they're doujin games. They're not being developed by Team Shanghai Alice, and by team, I mean just Zune. let's see, coming to the PS Vita, there's Aquastyle's roguelike dungeon crawler called Mystery Gensokyo 3. And then on the PS4 is Genso Rondo, a mix of the traditional bullet hell gameplay and fighting game.
Huh.
And there are two trailers available on Destructoid, and you can go and feast your eyes on those. Doujin games have been pretty prevalent regarding Toho. The core games themselves are just bullet hell, but people have been really creative in what they do with the characters. Because I will continue to maintain that the Toho fandom is probably the most insane fandom ever.
I'm
going to debate that on several levels.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, Harry Potter did spawn things like My Immortal.
Yeah.
We don't speak of that.
Harry Potter fandom to me will always be the winner.
I don't know. Naruto gets pretty scary.
Crazy fandoms.
One word. Homestuck.
Okay, yeah. Those people can be pretty loopy.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, in terms of the amount of content and original music people have put out for Toho, it's pretty mind-boggling.
It's always great for a game to have a dedicated fan base. I'm kind of interested in how they're mashing up bullet hell and fighting game genre.
Let's see. From the trailer, it's a video, so I don't really want to play right now. It does have the top-down bullet hell shooter, but it seems that on occasion the characters can get close to each other, and then the perspective will switch like it's a 3D fighting game like Tekken.
Huh.
So it's pretty interesting. I'm wondering how it'll plan out.
If the mechanics are well made, that could be an interesting fusion of genre.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Speaking of fusions of genres, isn't actually news related, so maybe I shouldn't go off on this tangent. But it reminded me. Have you guys ever played? I think it's Game Maker or something like that. It's not an actual Game Maker game, but it's a PC game where you're playing as a game developer. Game Dev Tycoon, I think.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys ever played it, but I remember one time I got so salty because I came up with a mashup game and the game told me, no, those are terrible genres. And I still maintain that a vampire strategy game would be amazing and that game should know what it's talking about.
I didn't know that this was something I wanted until this exact moment.
Oh, yeah, it's available on Steam. Jesse Cox had a hilarious run-through with a game. And he eventually failed, but it was hilarious.
A vampire strategy game?
Oh, no, a game tycoon.
No, I was saying that I want a strategy game where you control a clan of vampires.
That's what I'm saying. If you've never played, and I'm sorry, we should probably cut this whole tangent out. What I was going to say regarding Toho is that I'm always intrigued to play kind of mashups of genres that I'd never thought of before.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things that was really fun about playing Game Dev Tycoon is you can always choose multiple genres that your prospective game would be. And I'm still really mad that the game decided that, no, vampire strategy is terrible, where I'm like, I would play that so hard. But
The random number goddess is a fickle mistress.
Exactly.
If I remember right, Game Dev Tycoon had a certain algorithm where certain things worked well together and got you better reviews. So,
yeah. No
originality, you have to stick to the list. The list.
The list is always a master. I don't know what I just did right there. I am sorry.
You put on your voice actor hat for a little bit.
Oh, there you go.
He swallowed a cup of gravel.
Moving
that
forward.
That sounds incredibly painful.
Coming up next, Reptile has been confirmed to return for Mortal Kombat 10, or X, or whichever you prefer. It showcased him fighting the older Kung Lao, to which I'm still wondering how Kung Lao has come back. But it shows his different movesets, his throws, and oh dear god, the X-ray move made me wince.
On your concern about a character resurrecting or coming back somehow... I think the explanation is, it's Mortal Kombat, we don't care, here's your spot.
Okay, yeah, that is a good point, and they do have a way to bring people back, but I'm still wondering. But, yeah, I have, and I will admit, I've become a little desensitized by how over-the-top the violence in Mortal Kombat 9 was, and that's kind of the thing with Mortal Kombat. It's supposed to be over-the-top and goofy at times. Mm. Reptile's X-ray move and his fatality that was shown honestly did make me go like, ugh, wow. I felt that.
I've always wanted there to be like an anti-joke fatality, where instead of something being horribly over the top violent, he like demoralizes his opponent into like a coma, like
well,
in Naruto fashion.
That's not quite what you got with the fatality. Which please tell me you guys know what that means.
Yes, I do.
It's a fatality in, I think maybe Mortal Kombat 2, where you could turn your opponent into a baby.
Oh, yeah.
It was supposed to be to kind of placate parents who complained about it being so terrible. But I remember my cousins and I would do that to each other just constantly.
I feel like...
Yeah, the babalities returned in Mortal Kombat 9, and they were even animated out like Kratos would turn into a toddler and he would rip the head off of a Medusa doll. Sub-Zero would wet himself, but then his pee would freeze over and he would slip and fall.
That's amazing.
And
go ahead, sorry.
Probably the most horrifying example was Baby Striker was playing with a pistol.
Still, yeah, I think Preston has a point. I mean, we sort of have that in the Babality, but we still don't really have a fatality that isn't all about the gore and isn't kind of more creative, I guess, is maybe the word I'm thinking of.
Well, I mean, you could...
go ahead.
In Skyrim, they have fun fatalities with the Wobbajack.
Oh.
Turn somebody into cash, or pick them up when they turn into a sweet roll and chow down upon their sweet, mushy body.
I remember one of the Mortal Kombats, this might have also been 2, also had, like, the friendship.
Ah, yes. I think that was either 2 or 3.
Yeah, I can't remember which one it was. But still, it's not quite the same. Like, I want a fatality, now that you mention it, I want a fatality where it's like, they're on a therapist couch and you've just destroyed them mentally, you know, and
we need Frederick.
Never gonna be the same.
We need
and they drown themselves in their tears.
Yes.
Oh, God.
No, we need Nietzsche as a Mortal Kombat character, and he just monologues to them and sends them into a deep existential crisis from which they never recover.
I could get into that, which reminds me, speaking of historical figures in fiction, my favorite thing ever joke?
Spoilers? I think I remember hearing about that, but I never looked into it.
Escaflowne is a really interesting... I still really like that series, but yeah, it's basically this old guy who discovers alchemy and, you know, travels back in the past, and then you kind of start adding things up, and you're like, wait, did they just take Isaac Newton and throw him into this fantasy mecha anime? And the answer is yes.
Well, then.
Oh, Japan.
Well, it wouldn't be the weirdest thing Japan has put out.
That bar is set high. Yeah. Speaking of weird things Japan puts out, guess what started up in January? Yes, I'm going to hit this train once again. The new season of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Stardust Crusaders Part 2 has started up, and it's pretty awesome so far.
The Oingo Boingo episode was brilliant.
It's, you know, they're just continuing to do the same thing, where it's the same quality and panel-for-shot remake of the manga.
And that's not a bad thing.
Not at all. And another new show, or not new show, but another long-standing good show has started up a new season. Archer has started season 6.
Yes.
The animation is fantastic. There's been a bump in quality that I noticed. And, you know, the last season was like the Archer Vice, where they were running around trying to sell cocaine and failing at being drug dealers. And now they're back to formula. They're back to being spies. Mm-hmm. Though they have, they no longer work for ISIS for... reasons obvious to anyone who pays attention to the news. The only real reference to it was, you know, some workmen wheeling the ISIS logo out of the room in the back of the shot. So now they're CIA freelancers or something. Mm. But it's back to formula. Everyone's doing great, and it's a wonderful show. So
I just didn't realize how weird that's going to sound if you don't realize that it's a comedy.
Yeah, it is a. For those who aren't familiar, Archer is a spy comedy that satirizes the genre of things like Man from U.N.C.L.E. and James Bond and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I hope that people would know that by now, but I just not realized. You know, there's a possibility that they wouldn't be aware.
Well, we do also put up our show notes.
That's yeah, true.
That's true.
But of course, also the possibility that.
But you know, you hear the word Archer, you don't necessarily know that's a comedy.
And some people might confuse it with Green Arrow.
I'm going to be honest, for a really long time until I looked it up, I thought it was. I was like, why is this Green Arrow thing involving spy? I'm so confused.
Or they could have thought we were talking about that really awesome Archer that's popped up all over the internet.
Hans Anderson.
I don't know. I will admit, before I discovered the show, I thought that Archer was referring to Archer from Fate's Day Night instead.
Oh, yeah, that's a possibility, too.
There is that.
I just knew of it as this show that my then-boyfriend was all over. And he was like, oh, my gosh, Archer! Like,
maybe. Was that an accurate representation of his voice?
Yes. No. Yes. Yes, it was.
So you got a Gardevoir on your screen. Why is that?
Oh, yes, I do. Because Gardevoir, Pikachu, and Suicune have been confirmed as three of the new playable characters in Pokken Tournament, that fighting game being developed by the Tekken guys.
That still confuses the ever.
Suicune is my favorite!
I'm so excited for it.
Who's the one making loud squealing noises?
That was Preston.
Yeah.
Please, Suicune's not my favorite.
And the fact that they're putting in some non-humanoid Pokemon actually makes me think that they could choose from anywhere in the roster.
Sword.
Magikarp! Magikarp is totally coming!
No.
Bidoof. No, I'm all for Magikarp. Bidoof. I'm with her.
I think we had the Magikarp conversation
yeah,
last
time. I think we did, yeah.
One episode,
did
think.
We? Oh.
Would be the best lethal joke character.
Did you, have you guys ever read, I keep wanting to call it the punchline is Machismo, but that's the URL. Manly guys doing manly things.
That webcomic is great.
Yeah, they have some really great running jokes with Pokemon, but one of them is about this trainer who his first Pokemon, his starter, is like a Magikarp, and so because it can't fight, he just like picks it up and uses it as a bat and just, you know, beat other Pokemon with it until it evolved into a Gyarados.
That sounds majestic.
And its name is Mr. Fish.
That reminded me of another webcomic I I can't remember if it was VG Cats, Awkward Zombie, or something else, but it was an X and Y based one where a trainer catches a Magikarp and he has this exasperated look on his face and he chooses to escape. But then the text box that says "You cannot escape from battle" comes up, and then the last panel shows a Magikarp holding a gun to the trainer's Pokemon.
That sounds like something VG Cats would do.
I think it was. I can't remember.
But I am still perpetually confused by the concept of a Pokemon fighting game like this.
Actually, it looks pretty good right now. Look at that one of the screens.
It does look pretty shiny. We'll have to.
Here's hoping for.
That kind of looks like that final that final battle in the first season of Naruto.
With Sasuke.
And Naruto and the big orby things around
that black orb thing that we never saw again.
The Japanese are really fond of having large energies clash and form giant shockwaves.
I blame Dragon Ball Z.
I was going to go with Gurren Lagann, but you're more accurate.
So here's hoping that Mewtwo and Deoxys makes it in.
Yes. Actually, I want Mew. That's the one I'm dreaming for.
Actually, yeah, Mewtwo. Mew would be pretty interesting because.
But that's because Mew is still my favorite, so I'm biased.
Let me see.
We should totally put Dunsparce in.
Yes. Dunsparce is in desperate need of an evolution or Omega.
Something. Yeah. Legs.
Hyrule Warriors has shipped 1 million units worldwide for a Wii U title. That's actually pretty good.
I don't have a Wii U.
Neither do I.
I am 2/3 of the way convinced to get a Wii U.
I want that game Splatoon. Yeah.
Splatoon does actually look pretty fun.
An interesting concept.
Currently, the 1/3 is Super Smash Bros. That's now out. The second third is Metroid Prime Trilogy is coming out to the Wii U. And those are some of my favorite games. The last third that I need to finally convince me to get a Wii U is a new Metroid game. Something that isn't like Other M.
Anything but that.
Okay, to be fair, the gameplay was fine. It was the story that where it suffered. That's where most of the internet's hate comes from.
That's what happens when you hand Metroid to Team Ninja.
Well, the story elements was handled by Sakamoto and his team at Nintendo.
Really?
What I feel would be an awesome thing to come to Nintendo? Is if they did kind of a Halo thing where they put all of the games into one except Zelda. And we had all of the Zelda world on one disc.
Like remastered collections. The Master Chief Collection?
Yes.
I would
shell out as much as they wanted for that.
That would sell like cocaine-laced hot dogs.
To be honest, all I'm wanting from Nintendo is what I will never get, which is Earthbound for 3DS.
Yeah.
I may have had to resort to emulating it, which I'm doing right now. I'm like, I'm just so mad because I'm like, Nintendo, I would have paid you. Why can't I have this on a handheld console? Mm. There's no good reason why the SNES titles are not on handheld. But there are, but it infuriates me.
Yeah.
Those are the ones I want.
If I remember, I think Earthbound finally made it over to Virtual Console not too long ago, but we still have not gotten Mother 3 localized. Mm. I don't understand that.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen. I'm not happy about it, but I don't think it's going to happen. And I know if anybody actually bothers to comment on this, I know that the reason SNES games have not been ported to the 3DS is it's, like, really complicated and, you know, not enough of an effort for Nintendo to do it. It's just frustrating to me because those were the games I didn't really get to play as much and are the ones I would pay for now.
Yep.
Anyway. Yep.
Well, I think hopefully Nintendo learns from its past mistakes and branches out more on third-party titles. Yeah. Which they've done by bringing Bayonetta 2 as
and it's
a
worked out beautifully.
Yes.
Exclusive.
I will buy most things Platinum Games puts out.
That was just a confusing announcement to me. It was like, Bayonetta 2, Nintendo console. What?
Hey, at least it had the first game packaged along with it. That
worked
out.
And it worked.
Mm-hmm.
It sold well.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Hey kids, are you ready for more Freddy?
What?
Yeah. Five Nights at Freddy 3 has, the first teaser trailer has been put out onto the interwebs. Supposedly the third and, well, not supposedly the third and supposedly final game in the series.
Supposedly.
Yeah, well, more than likely it'll wrap up all the plot elements left by the first two games. This will take place 30 years after the events of the first game, so somewhere around 2017 or mid-2020s. And Freddy Fazbear's diner has been closed down, and now some idiots think it's a good idea to purchase the establishment and set it up as a haunted house horror attraction. And
that's actually not a bad idea, to be fair.
Yes, but when the fact that a killer animatronic that is from the
stuff... Minus that tiny detail.
Yeah, just one, but it is the stuff of nightmares. I mean, ugh. It was bad enough in FNAF 2 where you had to deal with nearly 11, but with just one that is probably the most disturbing out of all of them, gah.
Is it the fox one?
No, it's not foxy. Actually, it looks like that...
Are you thinking of the puppet, or are you thinking of Golden Freddy?
No, not Golden Freddy. So far, it seems that all the previous animatronics have been scrapped and are now, like, positioned all over the establishment. But now, there's this new animatronic supposedly called Golden Bonnie that, yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
It looks terrifying.
You have no idea. TV tropes work with me.
This is a rather quick announcement.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, if you see how the game is actually structured, it's just individual pictures stacked on top of each other and really fast development. And the fact that it's just done by one guy, Scott Cawthorn, is amazing.
I was going to say, correct me if I'm wrong, because I actually haven't gotten around to playing FNAF 2 yet, but weren't there hints, like, in FNAF 2 Easter eggs hinting towards 3?
Supposedly, yes.
I remember reading that somewhere.
Yeah, there were, well, spoilers for anyone who hasn't played these games, occasionally whenever you get killed by one of the animatronics, a little mini game that kind of shows, snippets of history of the dino will show up that kind of hints towards the, dark past and, the murder and the, guy who supposedly not only murdered the 5 children that haunted the animatronics, but supposedly has done so before, racking up a body count of around 11 children.
So, just for y'all who may or may not look up this picture, it kind of looks like the animatronics did a lot of meth for a couple years and then had a child with the moon from Majora's Mask.
That's a fairly accurate looking
description. Yeah, it is in shambles. You can see its teeth. It's almost like it's smiling. And in one of the promo pictures, you can see what looks like a brain sticking out of the cranium.
Ooh.
And so people are theorizing that it's either the phone guy who was supposedly killed near the end of the first game, or even the murderer himself, who's now still alive and trying to kill people.
Oh, I thought the murderer was... never mind, I'm not going to spoil it.
Well, as we say many times...
Especially it's not fair, because I haven't played it. There's speculation in 2 as to who the murderer is.
Oh, yeah. It's been speculated to be anyone.
Yeah, but there's a pretty... And I'm just saying, Okay, should I spoil it? Should I say it?
I think I already know what you're going to say.
Hold on, guys. Spoilers!
There we go!
We've said it many times. Spoilers are implicit.
From what I've read, it seems the most plausible theory, or the one that I feel like has the most evidence behind it, is that the phone guy is the murderer.
Yeah, I did see a lot of evidence towards that,
You spoiled the ending for a game I'm never going to play. Oh, gosh.
I'm going to go with Benjamin Stark. It's Benjamin Stark from Game of Thrones.
That's not the ending for a game I haven't played.
My problem is that it's so, like, suspenseful and terrifying, and it creates such an uncomfortable tension that I can barely play it.
That's the exact same point Yahtzee made in his review of the game. He said that he didn't like it because... Since he's an anxious person by nature, he couldn't finish the game properly.
I don't remember where I read this, but I read someone describing Five Nights at Freddy's, the series, as one of those games that is really difficult for you to play, but it's incredibly fun to watch other people play.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yeah, like Markiplier's playthrough of the 2 games have racked up millions of views individually.
God.
Yeah, I could not sit through those games by myself. I will watch people play it and laugh.
Oh, speaking of scary things, though, this is not related to games, but I want to talk about this because I'm really pumped.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it has been announced that David Tennant is going to play a major villainous role in one of the upcoming Marvel Netflix series.
Yeah, and Jessica Jones, yeah. I believe.
I may or may not have squealed like Preston when I heard that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you didn't verbally do it, but I saw the look on your face.
I want to be careful about how I talk about this. Because I have read Alias, which is the comic that the series, a.k.a. Jessica Jones, is based on. And by the way, it's amazing. You should read it. But the Jessica Jones series is going to be part of four Netflix series, which kind of follow what fans call the more street-level Marvel heroes, like Daredevil and Iron Fist and Luke Cage, the people who kind of work day-to-day, like, dealing with muggers and stuff.
Yes.
And Jessica Jones' backstory is that she's an ex-superhero who now works as a private eye. Hmm. And, well, I'll just say it this way. The reason she is an ex-superhero is because of David Tennant's character. David Tennant has been cast to play a character called the Purple Man.
That's hard to take.
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
That's hard to take seriously.
With a name like the Purple Man, it's got to be Barney.
Right? No, it's a really hilarious name, but the character is horrifying. He has mind control powers. Let's just put it that way.
Oh dear.
And he is just so. Oh my gosh. I don't know if they're gonna do it the way they did in the comic, but the way they did his mind control in the comic books is just. Oh, it's so horrifying.
Oh, was it of the
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Was it of the I have no mouth and I'm a scream kind of mind control?
I don't know how to describe it. There's a, and I'm misquoting it probably because it's been a couple years since I read the book.
Hmm.
But it's there's a moment where Jessica Jones is describing this guy, this bad guy, this Tennant character, to another superhero, and she says something almost like it's not like he's just taking over her mind. It's like he's replacing her mind with his own thoughts, and it's so much better because you don't have to worry about your own, you know, emotions, and it seems so much more natural, and it's almost like he's taking over your soul, you know, because it's just, and, oh my god, it's so horrifying, and I'm so excited to see David Tennant play this, because I've seen David Tennant do creepy, and I think he's going to do creepy really well. And I'm also excited because the AV Club article about it had some pretty interesting speculation, which is, while Tennant's character, I'd say, is probably, like, the main bad guy for Jones, he's a villain for all of the characters that are going to be in these miniseries.
Mm-hmm.
And the miniseries are going to kind of come together, a la Avengers, into a Defenders miniseries after they conclude.
Right.
And a lot of people have said that Tennant will probably be the main bad guy overall, and I think that would be really interesting. I think that... definitely bring people into the Netflix series, and I'm just so excited to see him play because I think he's going to do really well.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I'm pretty excited to see Tennant as a baddie. So we got time for like one more.
Yes. Let's see. Fans of Homeworld rejoice. Gearbox has set a date for Homeworld Remastered Collection. For those of you who don't know, the Homeworld games were developed by Relic Entertainment, and who later moved on to do the Warhammer 40,000 Dawn of War series, and was later bought by Gearbox when THQ went under. They are re-releasing the first and second game remastered onto Steam for $35.
So these RTS games?
Oh yes, spaceship RTS games. Ooh. And those are my weakness.
Ooh, yes. I love space strategy.
Space, gotta go space. Space,
gotta
go space.
Gotta shoot the lasers.
Dad, are we space?
No. I can't remember the quote. So I
I couldn't remember all of it either.
I'm always game.
I am disappointed.
I am always game for shooting things up in space.
I have had my eye on the Homeworld series for a long time, but I could never find it on Steam. So I am very happy to see that they are finally coming onto Steam. And I seriously just want more spaceship RTS in my life. I already have Sins of a Solar Empire Rebellion, but I just want more.
More. Gotta have more.
Ah.
We gamers, we can never have enough of one thing.
That is true.
That is true.
I think space RTSs are my weakness. What about you?
RTSs in general, strategy. Not even RTSs specifically, just strategy games in general.
Oh, yeah.
I think my weakness is Sims and RPG games. And when I say Sims, I don't mean just the Sims, but like simulation games.
Right.
I don't have a favorite. I don't have a weakness when it comes to gaming because it's just like, It's whatever entertains me for hundreds of hours on end.
That's a good point.
Okay, I take that back. My weakness is Minecraft because Minecraft is life. Kyle Minecraft.
It's kind of turning you into a megalomaniac.
Shh. Just because I have a giant base made completely out of obsidian with like 30 blocks of water protecting it from dynamite means nothing.
I judge you, but I'm literally juggling between 10 different families in the Sims 3 game right now. I'm controlling the city down to like the tiniest minutia and every person in it.
I have the perfect image for that kind of scenario. There's a point where we have passed it and we should probably stop, but let's keep going and see what happens.
Precisely.
But why?
Because. And that's pretty much all the news I got.
And that'll do us. We're just past the 30 minutes.
Boop! Ow,
that was louder than I thought it would be.
So, are we ready to nerd out in the next section?
Boop! Yes!
Boop!
Boop!
Dance from me, monkeys.
Absolutely, and that's why it's my favorite Zelda villain.
Oh gosh, Majora's Mask is my favorite video game in the history of ever, even eclipsing that of Minecraft. Majora's Mask is
I can get behind that.
Considering I stayed up until almost 6 last night playing Ocarina.
I saw that.
And here's the thing. I beat the Spirit Temple and I told myself, I'm going to go to sleep now. But then I realized... No, wait, I still have Ganon's Castle, and that's the best part of the game. So that's why I'm sleeping until 6 in the morning.
I've done that with Dark Souls.
Yeah. But I really love Majora's Mask, too. They're really hard. In a way, I almost see them as the same game. I know that's weird, because they're not. But in my head, they are, because I'm like, oh, it's just Ocarina Link's Crazy Dream, right? Totally canon, right?
I think what the reason why I love Majora's Mask the most is not only because of how unique it is in, compared to the rest of the series in general, but mostly because how Majora itself is probably one of Link's most disturbing villains.
Yeah.
We get characters like Ganondorf, who's kind of your typical evil overlord, evil wizard like Aghanim, and we do get the occasional crazy person like Xant.
Yeah.
But Majora's Mask is unique in that we know nothing about the mask's origins, and it is just insane and loves to just make everyone miserable.
Kind of Lovecraftian.
Very much so, yes.
And I agree. I think that's what makes Majora's Mask stand out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are a lot of things about it, but I think the villain is probably the really interesting thing, because it is so different from the rest of the series.
For anybody interested in Majora's Mask, it's kind of a side note. There's a group of musicians called Theophany who went through and remastered, I think it was 12 songs on their first album, and this winter they remastered some more.
Yeah.
And it is majestic.
Absolutely
it is
majestic.
It is majestic as fudge.
If I remember right, Time's End Volume 1 actually covers, like, the intro to the game where Link is turned to the Deku Scrub, and then he goes through the first 3 days trying to get the Ocarina back. And Volume 2, and supposedly the rest of the series, will cover his journey to each of the cardinal directions, finally culminating
and
in the final battle.
It is beautiful.
Absolutely. I highly recommend it.
My favorite song, I can't think of the title of it off the top of my head, but it basically ties all of the themes from the rest of the songs together. I want to say it's World's End.
Time's End.
Time's End, that's what it is. Thank you. Anyways, this is where the moon is, like, crashing towards the earth, and everything is, like, exploding, and people are dying, and sheep are crying, and it takes pieces of every piece of music from the game, and it ties it together into this medley where it's like your life is flashing before your eyes, except it's music.
Probably the coolest effect of the final song is that near the very end, there's just one woman that is singing the melody of the Song of Time And when she finishes the whole melody, the song starts to literally rewind to the very beginning, like time is being rewound.
It is a beautiful and well-crafted album. I would recommend that's the word I was looking. I would recommend y'all look it up. It's free to download, so.
Oh yeah, it's you can buy it on iTunes if you want to support the artist, or you can even go to his Bandcamp account, I think.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Bandcamp.
Literally Bandcamp. But if you download it for free, it's not illegal. It's literally on his site and he's like, "Here, take it. It's free. It's awesome." But if you want to support me, you can also buy it.
Oh, yeah. And yeah. I would ask, and I would definitely support the guy. He is really amazing.
Little shout out to John Stacy here on campus. John Stacy is actually going to be working with Theophany on some of their projects coming up. So
yeah, I saw that last year.
Mm-hmm. So, a little shout out to him.
Yeah, because we didn't introduce it properly, this is the geeking out section. We
got as if you couldn't figure it out already.
We have a whole winter break of geekery to let out.
I don't know about you guys, but I had a hard time this week. I was trying to think, what do I want to talk about? And then I thought, I can't talk about everything because there's so much that I geeked out about. Although, I guess, I'm trying to think of what to start with, and,
I know one thing I want to start with.
What is
go
it?
Go ahead, go ahead.
We finally, Shannon and I finally saw Interstellar.
Oh, how was it?
Oh, gosh! Okay, the music major in me just kind of squealed. The movie itself was fantastic. It's, special effects, their depiction of space, the science was actually pretty awesome in it, too. But my absolute favorite part of the entire movie, you can't see my hand gestures here, but I'm gesticulating wildly. their score is amazing. Yeah. A lot of their score has organs, and not just like your churchy organs where it's all slow and choral and stuff. It's like
Davy Jones from Pirates of the Caribbean, huge pipe organ.
But, I mean, what else would you expect from Mr. Hans Zimmer?
Yeah, he knocked another soundtrack out of the park. And it's the first time that a movie has, like, legitimately unsettled me at its depiction of something innocuous. Because the wormhole sequence and then the black hole were both just terrifying.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah.
But apparently, the science in the movie is very solid. And apparently, their depiction of the black hole is the most photorealistic simulation of a black hole. It wasn't just a special effect. It was like a simulation of how this black hole would work.
Oh, where it bended light around it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like how it would warp the light around it and how it would behave because it's a spinning black hole. And the guy who did the science advice and helped with the simulations is actually publishing a paper based on the results from the simulation.
Wow.
Because In the film, it's got like these twin bands going around like the meridian and the equator of it, of debris and light or something. And like this was something they weren't expecting to be happening. And at first they thought it was a glitch and they were like, no, nothing's going wrong. This must just be the result of the simulation. But it was a gorgeous movie. Very good looking, very well crafted. The music just blew me away. So if it might still be circling around in theaters, especially because it got some Oscar tabs for, like, soundtrack and technical stuff. But if you can't see it in theaters, I definitely recommend popping out for a Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'll definitely be shelling out for it. I don't know about y'all. Or I'll make my husband buy it. Preston, you're buying
it. That's what husbands are for, so I heard.
Right?
let me see. I didn't really do much over between semesters. I just kind of went back home and did just nothing.
JoJo.
Okay, yeah, JoJo. JoJo eventually started to come back into my life. I did get a number of games for Christmas from like my family and my friends. Let me see. I got the second Hatsune Miku PS3 game, and I absolutely love it because I love Vocaloid. Let me see. I finally got a Kingdom Hearts 1.5 HD remix. And I will go ahead and say that the combat in Kingdom Hearts 2 compared to 1 is phenomenal. Like, 1's combat system can't even compare to Kingdom Hearts 2.
It's honestly been so long since I played them, I've forgotten. There's something, this is something we probably should have mentioned in news, but Shannon stumbled across this. it's a game that's getting localized for the Americas.
Oh, it's actually getting localized?
Yes,
and it's called J-Star's Victory.
About time they localized this series.
It's a fighting game with characters from all sorts of different animes, like Naruto, Shonen Jump anime specifically. Mm-hmm. So it's got like Naruto, Bleach, One Piece, JoJo.
Here we go.
I was gonna say, I knew what you were talking about, but the name I'd forgotten. Anyway, go on. Sorry.
I got
really excited.
Going down the list, we have Assassination Classroom, Beelzebub, Bleach, Bo 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 Bo.
It's properly pronounced Bo 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 Bo.
Yeah.
Bo 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 bo.
Oh my god.
Let's see. Dr. Slump, Dragon Ball, Fist of the North Star, Gintama, Hell Teacher Nube, Hunter x Hunter, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Naruto.
Let's see. Madoka Box, One Piece, Reborn, Rurouni Kenshin.
Yes! Okay, so I don't know if any of you know this. My absolute favorite anime on Earth is Rurouni Kenshin. So, yeah. So when I found out Himuro Kenshin was one of the playable characters, I squealed like Preston.
See, you're the one that does all the squealing.
No.
And then...
don't lie to yourself.
Let's see. And then other famous ones, we have Saint Seiya, Toriko, and Yu Yu Hakusho.
Was Rurouni Kenshin... was that set during the Meiji Restoration or the Sengoku Jidai?
It was set during the Meiji Restoration.
Let's see if I can find that.
And I think there's a couple other series.
Wait, what? Wow, I never knew that.
What?
The manga initially appeared in Shueisha's Weekly Shonen Jump from April 11th, 1994 to November 4th, 1999. April 11th, 1994 was when I was born.
Huh.
Oh.
That is an awesome coincidence.
Oh, I'm older than you.
Yeah.
You are, huh?
I know, I have to establish that.
Oh, wait, aren't
I'm
older than you?
I'm older than all of you.
Everyone in this podcast is older than me.
It's okay, Priest.
By months.
But months is all the distance that's needed. Or time. I don't know what I'm saying.
Time is an illusion.
What it says on here is it's during the 11th year of the Meiji period.
Ah, okay, there we go.
Which, for those who don't know, was during the 19th century and is when Japan really started to modernize.
Mm-hmm.
But there were still swords and stuff in this show, so it's all cool.
Yeah.
Okay. let's see. Kind of backpedaling just a little bit back. I finally got my hands on the third installment of probably the weirdest game series ever, Drakengard 3.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to say Had a Full Boyfriend, but okay.
Okay. Oh, no.
Does Had a Full Boyfriend even have two installments, let alone?
No,
actually,
no.
I'm really disappointed that they didn't localize Holiday Star for, Steam Christmas sale.
You just learn Nihongo.
How does one describe the Dragon Guard series? The first game was a kind of a Dynasty Warriors copycat developed by Cavia Inc., which was a subsidiary of Square Enix, which involved some of the most unsympathetic playable characters you could probably find in a JRPG. Some of them included a bloodthirsty main character, a child molester, a sister who has the hots for a brother, who is the main character, a talking dragon, and eventually a final boss battle, which is a rhythm game. While riding on the dragon is also very hard. That takes place in modern-day Japan.
You said unsympathetic.
Is it bad that the last part is what convinced me to play it?
Is this Game of Thrones Dragonback?
No.
I was just going to say, you said unsympathetic. What's wrong with the talking dragon?
Well, because everyone in this world is a jerk.
So he's a talking dragon,
so
but
it
he's
is
also
Game of Thrones.
Well, she.
A jerk.
She.
She. Okay.
Well,
now
I'm
the sexist.
Yeah,
now,
Preston.
And now Kotaku's going to jump down my throat. We're not going there.
No. But the game takes place in, like, medieval Europe or something like that, something of that time period. But in the final route, The dragon and the main character follow the supernatural eldritch creature to modern-day Shinjuku. And that's where the aforementioned rhythm battle takes place. And they defeat the eldritch creature, they win, and then they're blown out the sky by an F-15.
Awesome.
Well then.
And
spoilers.
Yeah, the first game came out in 2003 for the PS2. I don't know if it's...
Were they doing acid?
Yoko Taro is a very odd creative director.
So that's a yes.
I don't know, but...
That's also an understatement, I think.
Kind of. But then he and his team went on to develop Nier for the PS3 and 360, which is probably one of my most favorite games of all time. And also one of the most depressing games ever. And the music in there is also phenomenal. It's also available on iTunes. And then he and his team returned to do Drakengard 3, which is... it's a hack and slash game, like, say, God of War, except it's not the most technically impressive. The frame rate will drop like nothing else. But I think that's kind of the appeal of the series. You don't go in to play for the graphics or the gameplay. You go in to kind of follow the story and get to know the characters.
Yeah, but frame rate drops kind of kill things for me.
That is true.
Like, I can take things being untechnical and not the prettiest and most up-to-date, but frame rate drops cause problems.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed Unity.
Assassin's Creed Unity had a lot more problems than frame rate drops going for it, though.
People were dropping their faces.
Womp womp.
Oh, look at that waveform.
It's really hard to design female characters. I'm never going to forgive them for that.
We're not touching Gamergate or anything remotely tangential.
Nope.
We're just going to follow that under. Nope.
I feel like we could have a conversation on it from an outside perspective.
Okay, yeah.
But we're not going to dig into, I support this side.
Nope. Yeah, that's a big old nope right there.
So,
kittens.
That would be like the equivalent of covering your genitals in honey and then squatting over an ant bed. We're asking for trouble.
We're asking for trouble.
Wouldn't a more apt description be beehives? Because, okay, are you implying that said genitals will be within the ant mound?
Yes.
Okay, yes, that's bad.
What?
How did you... I'm not even going
to
ask.
I think there's things my husband and I need to talk about.
Yes, you need to probably have an intervention.
Listen,
but before that...
When you deal with your enemies, you want to make sure they stay dealt with.
Okay.
I don't even want to know.
So, I'll talk about a game that I stumbled across.
Yes.
Sadly.
Oh, sadly.
Okay, it's not really sadly. It's an interesting piece of work called The Cat Lady.
Oh, yes, yes.
What type of game would you describe it as?
Point and click narrative.
Indie.
There we go. It's a point and click narrative. You can move. You can move scrolly side to side, but the game is very dark. It's surround. I just lost my voice. Anyways, okay. So it starts out telling the story of a woman named Susan Ashworth. And she has a couple cats. She's really reclusive, and then one night she kills herself. And that's where the beginning of the story begins. Yes.
The beginning of the story begins.
Yeah. Deal with it. Anyways, so she's greeted by a figure that I guess you could call Death, who's just like, so your life was really crappy, so I'm going to make death really crappy for you to make you want to live again.
Wow.
And
some tough love.
Basically, she's like, there's crappy people alive right now, and they shouldn't be alive, so you're going to kill them. And as a bonus, you can't die.
Tough love from the psychopomp.
Yeah.
And so I've made it halfway through. I guess it's halfway through. I've killed one of the parasites, which is what the evil bad people you're supposed to be killing is called.
Hmm.
And he was really, really disturbing. He killed people and turned them into famous pieces of artwork.
So it sounded kind of like Sandra Cohen.
Yeah, that does kind of sound like Sandra Cohen.
It was really disturbing. And I actually haven't played much since then because it was so disturbing.
Or the plastic surgeon guy. I can't remember his name.
Aphrodite. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
I can't remember
his name.
It's been so long since I've played Bioshock.
Steiner?
Other than the disturbing storyline, it's got some janky gameplay.
The voice acting could use some work.
Yeah, the voice acting sounds like robots.
It's an indie title, so the voice acting isn't incredibly top notch. I just know because I was kind of like listening over my shoulder.
But other than that, some of the puzzles are really difficult to figure out. Most of the time, I have the guide open next to me if I get stuck. It's not like, oh, that's really ingenious. It's like, no, that was really stupid. Why did I have to do this type gameplay?
It's not stupid in a challenge kind of way. It's difficult in a Silent Hill 2.
Oh, that puzzle.
What universe did this logic work kind of way?
So, honestly, I haven't gotten through the storyline, though, but the storyline is pretty interesting, which is probably the only reason I'm going to finish playing it.
That's kind of an interesting dichotomy you can run into with games. It's like, am I playing this for the gameplay, or am I suffering through the gameplay because I like the story? And that always brings up the debate on should story have precedence or should gameplay have precedence. Yeah. I will always argue in favor of solid gameplay over story, but story can add so much to it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, see, whereas I'm more the opposite. And not that I think that necessarily one is better than the other. It's just that my preference is story over gameplay. Like, I play dating sims, and let's be honest, dating sims are not great story-wise. I mean, Had a Full Boyfriend, love that game, but I love it for the story, not for the gameplay.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it depends on the genre, and no matter what, a balance has to be struck to make sure you're not pouring too many resources.
Yeah, I mean, if you're playing Call of Duty, you're probably going to want better gameplay than story.
Probably,
because,
yeah.
Yes.
You're not going to get that either with Call of Duty.
Snap. Although, to be fair, Advanced Warfare does seem to be a bit fun.
But if you're playing something like The Shadow of Mordor, they've got everything. They've got great gameplay.
They have Troy Baker versus Nolan North.
And the storyline is pretty nice.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Maybe it was just because I blew through the story missions without doing a lot of wandering around until after I had beaten the main story. But the story felt pretty short and janky to me. Like it
Well,
felt
you're
like
short
it,
and janky, so.
You married me. But it's still a really fun game. It was really satisfying to stumble across a pack of orcs and then reduce them to screaming terror or bloody viscera.
Well, I think one of the most interesting things about The Shadow of Mordor is the fact that even after you finish the game, you can set up your own storylines and rivalries and hatred. And if you get killed by an orc and they get promoted, you want to shank them. You want to grab them by the throat and shank them in the ribs with the square button.
Yep.
Very vivid.
I think that was one of the game's best features.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Was the shanking?
I also liked... No,
the Nemesis system.
But I also liked the voice actor they got for... I don't know if I want to say the name, just in case there's some really big Tolkien nerds who haven't played the game, because his name is kind of a spoiler if you know the lore.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Wraith.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
The Wraith's got a really cool voice actor.
Let me see if I can find who played him.
But, so what have you, while he looks that up, what have you geeked out about, Georgia?
Well, I was actually going to say, we might be able to skip mine because we're going on long. But I've been debating what I was going to talk about, and I guess here's my question to you guys. Should I talk about Serial? Because I obsessed over it over the break, and I feel weird talking about it because I certainly wasn't the only one. It was the top podcast on iTunes for the entire run of the series. But I do feel strange saying, I obsessed over a podcast about a true life crime where a girl really was murdered, even if it's not necessarily by her ex-boyfriend.
I thought you were talking about, like, a bowl of cereal.
That was the best moment.
There's a great thing on this set.
I got Preston's dying.
account for
Sorry.
No, no. Thank you for providing.
I guess I'm trying to think of how to explain what I enjoyed about it without being...
Sounding like a sociopath?
Without making light of the case. Because I do recommend it to anybody who would be kind of interested in true crime or, you know, crime in general, kind of the U.S. justice system. Because I found that what it was, ultimately, is that I feel like Serial is, it's about a 12-episode podcast, and it's kind of looking back into the case of this murder. And initially, you kind of think it's going to be a whodunit type of thing. The first couple of episodes kind of play with the idea of, was it necessarily the ex-boyfriend? There's all this conflicting evidence, even though he was convicted. You know, the cops never really followed up on this or this or this. And then by the end of it, it's more like about, at least in my opinion, it feels that it's more about how the system can just screw someone over. I'm not necessarily saying the guy is innocent, because I, even after 12 episodes, I don't know what I think about that. But I feel, regardless of whether or not he committed this murder, he got screwed over by the system, you know? And it's just, it's really interesting, and it's so well done. It's done by the same people who do This American Life, which is kind of...
Is Ira Glass in it?
Would I say the quintessential podcast? That sounds really pretentious.
I
would
like...
say, you know, they're well known for making really good podcasts. That's what they do.
Is Ira Glass the narrator?
Go ahead.
I couldn't hear it. Is Ira Glass the narrator?
He's not the narrator. He's the producer. It's it's narrated by a woman named Sarah Koenig, who has done several stories for This American Life.
I just really like his voice.
She had been asked to kind of cover this case, and as it was unfolding, she was like, could we maybe do a spinoff, because I don't think this is going to be enough for one episode. You know, I don't think I can fully get this, you know, all in one episode. And that's kind of what it became, and I don't want to feed into, because... If you followed any news articles or anything about this, Reddit exploded over this podcast and became very... Everybody became like Sherlock Holmes, trying to figure out who did it and stuff like that. And I don't... I feel uncomfortable kind of associating with that. Because I feel like, even though there's definitely a part of me... You know, I was sending texts with my friends like, oh, this guy did it. It was definitely him. And there's all this, you know, all sorts of things like that. I'm not going to pretend I didn't have that. But I also feel like... To me, that's not necessarily what it's about. You know, it's just about how so many things are circumstantial. You don't know people the way that you think you do. I'm doing a terrible job of describing this. I'm sorry.
You would just think Reddit would have learned after the last time they tried to play the great internet detective game.
Reddit never learns.
No,
Reddit never learns.
I mean,
I say that with love and exasperation.
Well, I mean, like, there... Like, last year, there was a big kerfuffle when this Reddit celebrity got into a big fight with someone over something really, really pointless. And then shortly afterwards, he got banned because it turns out he had been manipulating votes with alt accounts.
Oh,
and now he's back, and there, like, he has defenders and fans, and it's silly, and it's exasperating.
Yeah.
I just want to look at pictures of cool things.
And that's, I think, what I'm trying to kind of talk about with Serial, is I highly recommend the podcast. I would sort of recommend avoiding the subreddit, because, frankly, it has gotten into sort of like, okay, I'll just describe. There's the ex-boyfriend, Adnan Syed, who has been convicted, he's the one who's been convicted, but there's also this guy who claimed to be his accomplice named Jay, and everybody's like, Jay is super shady, and his story keeps changing constantly. So the subreddit basically divided into camps of this guy did it, or this guy did it. And it's sort of almost fandomish, which feels weird. I say, even though I was like everybody else, I'm like, oh my god, I need to listen to this as soon as it comes out.
Team,
you know, it's weird to say that, like, it's a really good podcast, but I feel really uncomfortable with the fandom part of it.
I feel like Team Ex-Boyfriend is too long for a t-shirt, though.
Yeah, it is a little bit, but I mean...
It could be Team XBF.
Team X.
Say what? But
Team X Bay.
Oh God, no.
But that's kind of the main thing I obsessed over. Over the break, If you are interested in it, it's 12 episodes long. It's free. You will probably get addicted by episode 3 because that's how it seems to be for everybody I've recommended it to. It's like, they'll listen to one episode and they're like, this is a really interesting, unusual case. And then by episode 3, everybody's like, oh, I'm Sherlock Holmes, I'm going to solve it. Yeah. It just seems to do that to people.
I feel like I'm in too many series right now.
I can understand that. You know, I found myself, like, I was going on Reddit, like, are other people kind of noticing this thing that someone mentioned in the podcast, and then it became crazy. I'm actually looking at the subreddit right now. Curiosity.
Don't go to the subreddit. I'm on the subreddit. Okay. Don't do the things. I'm doing the things.
Do the things. Well, and it's not, it's just, it went crazy during the podcast, I guess is what I would say, is I felt like people went really insane.
Yeah.
But
Reddit has a tendency to do that.
It's just a really interesting true crime story, and it's really interesting seeing it unfold. And it's also sort of this time capsule-y kind of thing. So the murder took place in the late 90s, right? At the turn of the century, millennium. Yes.
Both.
And why not both? It's also like really interesting seeing how crime has kind of evolved, because it's like, oh, they used cell phone evidence, but cell phone evidence back then was really unreliable because it's this new technology, and there's this that they couldn't have done, and this that they couldn't have done, and, you know, a huge part of the whole case revolves around whether or not this guy was at the library, because that's where people used to hang out, you know, and just, oh, it's
I was born in the wrong era.
It used to be so easy to murder someone.
But no, a huge part of it is, his alibi is that this girl says, oh, I saw him at the library when he was supposedly killing his girlfriend. And it's like, and then there's some people, did he kill her at the library? And everybody's like, the library was super public. That's impossible. You know, and just,
impossible.
It's really good, even though I'm doing a horrible, horrible job of describing it.
Well, we're running a little long on time now, so.
Yes, we are.
Time to do the spiel.
Yeah.
If you like us, hate us, if you're glad we're back, or if you wish we had all driven off a cliff in the interim.
How rude of you.
Indeed, that's kind of horrible and sociopathic. But whatever your feelings, drop us a line, email us at plusintwt@gmail.com, or you can get a hold of us on the Prairies pages on Facebook and Twitter. We're always around. We're always looking. We're waiting for you to finally say something to us.
Please.
Someone might have, actually. I haven't checked the email in a while.
Yeah.
So someone might have. I need to give everyone else access.
And they probably now feel neglected because you didn't respond back.
Yeah, it's been a couple months now.
Yeah, you jerk.
I'm a horrible person. Either way, we're glad to be back. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah. Oh, I'm very happy.
If you didn't want to be here, you would subject yourself to an hour of an amateur podcast, but hey.
Hey, we're not amateur.
We aren't paid for this. Yeah. We're amateur.
I'm not even going to argue amateur.
We're in our shiny new room. It's got a bit of an echo, but yeah. I can work around that. Mm. I know what to be.
Alrighty.
Alright.
I think we're good.
Alright.
Bye.